So, man, I just want to say how good it is for us to declare over our friends who are graduating, for us to declare that God is with us and that God is for us. And I know that whenever I was in this season of life that they're in right now, that I needed that reminder. I told them this morning, but it's important for us to remember what a privilege it is for us to be able to be involved in the lives of these young people. Right? God has given us a tremendous gift by allowing us to be a part of what He's doing in their lives. And I don't know about you, but in moments like these, I'm kind of overwhelmed with gratitude and for the gift that it is to be involved in the lives of these folks. Last week we talked about the faith of a woman who didn't even know God, but was approached by Elijah and trusted his word, trusted the goodness of God, even when she didn't have any evidence that would have indicated that was something that she could believe. We talked about how God was with her even in moments of grief, about how God heard her, and so we talked about her faith, and this week we're going to continue that story. What we just talked about, that was chapter 17. So what we're about to talk about this morning happened right after that. So you remember last week there was a big drought that was going on all over Israel. The Lord had said that there's not going to be any rain, and it was because Israel had been unfaithful to God. And so the prophet Elijah was the one who told everybody this, and of course King Ahab's really mad at him, and that's why he had been on the run. That's why he had been living with this widow that we talked about last week, because they were looking for him. They were going to try to kill him. They called him the troublemaker of Israel, as Addie just read to us a little earlier. And so we get down to this point in this passage where God's about to do something really important, really powerful. But there's some messages for us from this passage of Scripture, and particularly some messages for my friends who are graduating that I want you to hear before, as you're moving into this next phase of your life. So we're going to be in 1 Kings chapter 18. So you can go ahead and turn there. We're going to start with verse 20. But while you're looking at that passage of Scripture, I just want to say that we believe as your church family, we believe that God has big plans for you, big dreams for your lives, and He's been working and moving in your life, and we can see it. We've seen it. We have witnessed the Lord God at work in your lives over the course of the past several years that we've been able to know you and be with you, and so we know that God has big plans for you. These next years, the years that you're about to spend, you're going to be becoming. God is going to be transforming you into a person who will live according to His purposes, right? So you're going to be becoming something over the course of the next several years. The question is, what will you be becoming? What are you going to become over the course of the next several years? And frankly, that's a question that's in front of all of us this morning, because there are many different times in our lives where we come to this junction in our lives where we know the decisions we make, the choices we make as we move forward, they're going to shape our future. And a lot of us are at places in our lives that are not unlike the place that our graduates are at, where we understand that there are things coming in our future that are going to really shape it, and we're going to have to make some decisions that are going to have profound impacts on our lives. So let's look to Scripture and see what God has to say to us when we're in a moment like that. 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 20. Says, so King Ahab sent word. Remember, Elijah's like, gather everybody together. Gather all Israel together at Mount Carmel. So Ahab sent word throughout all Israel. He assembled the prophets on Mount Carmel. And Elijah went before the people and said this. And I want us to pay really close attention to what Elijah says here. How long will you waver between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow Him. But if Baal is God, follow him. What we see in this passage of Scripture, first and foremost, is that our choices matter. Elijah's saying to Israel, listen, it's time for you to decide. You guys have been wavering between whether are we going to follow God or are we going to go a different way. You've been wavering between these two opinions. The time has come for you to decide. And the reason that it's so important for you to decide is because there's no such thing as halfway following after the Lord. Surrendering your life to the Lord is either something that you do wholeheartedly or not at all. And what Elijah wants the people of Israel to know is that this way that you've been living, you've been telling yourself that this way that I've been living is okay. This way that I've been living is good, right? But what I'm telling you, what Elijah's telling you is that, no, the way that you've been living is, it's an affront to God if you're only going to halfway choose Him. And we know about this. We know about this because I've been married for 29 years. And let me just say, you can't be sort of married, right? You can't be married sometimes and less married other times. If you're going to be married to someone, it requires your whole commitment to that marriage. We didn't stand up in front of everybody on the day that we got married and say, I'm committed to you except for these times. Let me list the times when I won't be committed, right? We didn't say that. We said the opposite of that. We said in sickness and in health and in prosperity and in poverty. I mean, we went down the whole list. It doesn't matter what's going on in our lives. I am with you. I am with you forever. I'm committing my whole life, my whole self, all of my strength and energy to this relationship. And that's not just a choice we made on that day. We had to make it over and over and over again. We still have to make it over and over and over again every day. There's no way to be partially married. And the same is true in our relationship with the Lord, any relationship. If you're going to be in a relationship, in a life-giving relationship with someone, it requires all of you. And so I just want to say to us this morning that many of us have been wavering between two opinions. We'll be committed and sometimes we'll want to do our own thing. And I want for you to hear from the Lord this morning that our choices matter, and this decision about following Him is the most important one that we'll make. And for my graduate friends, for the next 4 years of your lives are going to be some of the most important and transformative in your whole life. Did you know this? Between the ages of 16 and 24, your brain develops more between the ages of 16 and 24 than it does from 1 to 8. This is the most, I want you to think about how much you changed from the time you were 1 year old to the time you were 8 years old. I mean, you learned to read, you learned to tie your shoes, you learned to walk, you learned to speak, you learned a bunch of things from 1 to 8. And this time in your life right now, 16 to 24, is even more formative and it's even more important. You change more in this time than you even did then. There's no getting around it. Y'all, the next few years of your life, you're going to become someone. And the choices that you make over these next few years will define you. Who are you going to hang out with? Who are you going to spend your time around? What motivates you? Who are you going to date? Even marry one day? Where are you going to invest your time? All of those decisions are critical decisions for you. They're not just decisions that you make in a vacuum. They're decisions that are going to change who you are. They're going to affect the person that you are going to become. And today is the day. Now is the day. You have to decide right now. Will you waver between two opinions? There's no such thing as wavering. To not choose the Lord is a choice, friends. And I need for you to hear that this morning. It's true for all of us. And then in verse 22, then Elijah said to them, I'm the only one of the Lord's prophets left, but Baal has 450 prophets. So get two bulls for us. Let Baal's prophets choose one for themselves. They get to pick. Let them choose one. Let them cut it into pieces and put it on the wood, but don't set fire to it. I'll prepare the other bull. I'll put it on the wood, but won't set fire to it. Then you call on the name of your God, and I will call on the name of the Lord, and the God who answers by fire, He is God. Then all the people said, what you say is good. Something else we need to hear in this passage, and that's this: God answers. God answers. Elijah is being led by God to devise this very public test. They've been through this devastating drought. Conditions were really difficult. They were in a time of crisis. People were starving to death. We just heard about this last week, this widow who was preparing to make the last meal that her and her child would ever eat whenever she met Elijah. So things are tough. And the fact of the matter is that in our lives, we encounter times like this. We encounter really difficult, really painful seasons. We encounter seasons where we don't know how we're going to get through them, how we're going to get past them. We don't know if there's hope on the other side of them. And in those moments, we can feel really isolated. We can feel really alone. We can feel like there aren't any answers. And I know there's some folks here today, and that's where you're living. The moment that you find yourself in, the circumstances that you find yourself in this morning, it feels like the end of your rope. And you don't know how you're going to move forward. And it feels like you're alone. I get that. I understand that. Frankly, I've been there before. I know exactly what that feels like. And there's a lot of us, maybe we haven't had that experience yet, but I can tell you also, and I hate to be the bearer of bad news this morning, but I can tell you that you will encounter times like that in your life, really difficult, really painful seasons that you don't know if you can make it through. And for my friends who are graduating today, I wouldn't be a very good pastor if I didn't stand in front of you and say, listen, there are going to be moments in the next 4 years where your heart's going to be broken. And you're going to wonder how you're going to be able to go forward from whatever the situation is. I don't know what that looks like. Maybe it's the end of a relationship. Maybe it's a dream that you had for your life that falls apart on you. Maybe it's heartache or tragedy in your family. But you're going to go through a season in your life where you wonder if you can go forward. You wonder if anybody's hearing you. You wonder if you're all alone. And so I want to share something with you. And I wish I wish I was really smart, and I wish I was really articulate, and I could find some really creative way to explain this to you, but I'm not. Okay, I'm not smart. I'm not super articulate. The best that I can do is just tell you from my own personal experience. Hear me. I've been in moments in my life where I thought, and everything that really matters to me is over. And I don't know how I go forward from here. I've been in those times. I've been in those moments in my life. And what I can tell you, looking back, what I can tell you is that the Lord God Almighty has been with me and for me in every single one. Friends, God is faithful. God answers. And he doesn't always answer the way we want him to answer, okay? He hasn't always done what I wanted him to do in my life, but I can tell you, he has been faithful and he has been good. And the way that he has moved and acted in my life have been the best ways for me. Over and over and over again, he has proven himself to be trustworthy and faithful. And hear me, he will prove to be that for you. God can be trusted. Even in your darkest times, even when you feel most alone, the Lord God can be trusted. God answers. And we're going to see even more about that a little later on. But right now, let's take a look at what happens next in this passage. In verse 25, Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, choose one of the bulls and prepare it first. Since there are so many of you, call on the name of your God, but don't light the fire. So they took the bull given to them and they prepared it. And then they called on the name of Baal from morning till noon. Baal, answer us, they shouted. But there was no response. No one answered. And they danced around the altar they had made. God answers, friends, but listen, hear me. Idols are silent. The priests of Baal, they were desperately trying to get God, to get their God to respond. They were doing everything that they could do to get Baal to answer them. And here's the thing. Each of us here this morning, we have deep questions. We have deep questions that are down, buried in our souls. And all of us as humans have them. Okay? And we're looking for answers to those questions. Questions about our purpose. Questions about our identity. And questions about our place in this world. Like, we all have those questions. For you guys who are graduating, you are, my young friends this morning, those questions are amplified for you because you're kind of like right at the edge of considering all of them. But you've got all these deep questions. And we're looking for answers to those questions. And listen, as you head to college, you're gonna have to face some of these questions for the first time. You've not ever really had to ask yourself some of these questions, but you're about to. The problem is, though, that we often really start to look for all of these answers in the wrong places. We start asking the questions of the wrong things. Some of you have already begun to dance. You're dancing around the wrong altars, desperately trying to get some answers. Money. We're dancing around that altar today, just passionately trying to get that to be the answer for us. We're success, sports. Relationships. I mean, there's a relationship. You're dancing around the altar of this relationship, desperately trying to get that relationship to tell you something about who you are, to tell you something about your place in the world, to tell you something about your meaning and your purpose. Dancing around the altar of respect. If I could just get people to think well of me, to look upon me favorably, if I could just get people to do that, then maybe that's where I would find my identity. Maybe that's where some of these questions would be answered. Here's what I can tell you. And there are other people in this room who are a little older who could tell you this. And there's some of us in this room who we're still wrestling with it. We've been wrestling with these things for years. But hear me. Those idols don't answer. If you spend your time dancing around those idols, you are going to be left exhausted and empty. Those are dry wells. Some of you don't need for me to tell you that. Because if we're being really honest, you've been dancing with all your strength around some of these idols already, and you already feel exhausted. You already feel empty. You already know that the answers aren't there. You're just as lost now. You're just as confused as you've ever been. You're not finding the answers in these places where you're looking. Idols don't answer, y'all. Verse 27. As a person who, one of my spiritual gifts is trash talking, I really love this passage. Verse 27, at noon, Elijah began to taunt them. Shout louder. He said, surely he's a god. Perhaps he's deep in thought. Perhaps he's busy. Perhaps he's traveling. Maybe he's sleeping and must be awakened. So they shouted louder and slashed themselves with swords and spears, as was their custom, until their blood flowed. Midday passed, and they continued their frantic prophesying until the time for the evening sacrifice. But there was no response. No one answered. No one paid attention. Not only do the idols not answer, friends, but dancing around those idols looking for answers there only leads to self-harm. Self-harm is the result. And the fact is that this passage of scripture was really uncomfortable for some of us to hear, because we're hearing about these people like literally cutting themselves, mutilating themselves. There are people in this room that's what you're doing. That's how you're coping. You're literally harming yourself. There are others of us here this morning that what we're doing is absolutely as harmful, but we've justified it in all kinds of different ways. Let me tell you, you dance around the altars long enough and it will destroy you. These people were slashing themselves in order to be heard, in order to find some kind of answer, some kind of meaning. And I just want you to, I want for you guys to hear me. Listen, some of you are engaged in really risky, really destructive activity, things that harm us and harm others. And you're trying to pretend like it's not that big a deal. And I need you to hear me say, it totally is. You cannot find your answers there. Friends, please remember, we have a God who is with us. We have a God who is for us. We also have an enemy who seeks to steal and to kill and to destroy. And he is working right now, trying to harm you, trying to get you to harm yourself. And some of you have just been led down that road. And today the Lord is like, look, you're dancing around the wrong idols. It's destroying you. Please wake up. Please pay attention. Please see what is actually happening to you. Isn't it amazing that sometimes the people who are the sickest I don't know if you've been around somebody who was really struggling. I've been a couple times in my life where I've been around somebody that was really struggling, involved in some really harmful, self-destructive kind of behaviors. And it's like panic-inducing to watch them just waste away. And everyone around them can see it. And we're all jumping up and down and stomping on the ground. We're, please, please, look what's happening to you. Look what's happening. And you can't see it. It's called dysmorphia. That's what it's called. You can't see the reality of what's going on in your own body. And some of us, that's exactly where we are today. We've been dancing around the wrong altars. We've been slashing ourselves and cutting ourselves and mutilating ourselves, destroying ourselves. And the Lord God is saying to you this morning, open your eyes. Please see what is happening to you. And up to this point, you have blinders on. You can't see it. You have not seen it. But today, I'm praying that the Holy Spirit of God would show you what is going on in your soul. Because he loves you. Because he does not want to see you destroy yourself. And that's what's happening. Make no mistake. It says they were frantic. Did you see that? They're frantic. Frantically trying to get the God to answer them. Frantically. Friends, frantic is always from the enemy. When we're frantically out there trying to get something proved to ourselves, we're frantically out there trying to discover our meaning. Frantic is always from the enemy. I want you to see what happens in verse 30. After all this frantic activity, after all of this craziness going on, Elijah said to all the people, come here to me. They came to him. And he repaired the altar of the Lord, which had been torn down. Come here. Listen, y'all, that's what the Lord is doing today, right now. You're exhausted. You're empty. You're hurting. Your life has been frantic and chaotic. And the Lord God is saying to you this morning, come here. His hope for you, his purpose for you is that you would come to him. He wants to be known by you. He wants for you to live in relationship with him. And up until now, especially my friends who are headed to college, up until now, you may have heard this message and you may have thought, Brad is telling me to stop doing bad things. That may be what you thought. You may have thought, Brad is telling me to stop doing bad things. Brad is telling me to start doing better things. Brad's telling me that I need to adjust my habits. Look, all of that stuff is true. There are things that are harmful to us. I'm not trying to pretend like there's not. But that's not what this is about. That's not what Christianity is about. That's not what religion is about. That's not what it's supposed to be about. Religion that's about that leads is another idol that we dance around, and it's empty. It doesn't help. That's not what this is about. If you heard that today, if that's all you hear from me today, that I have failed as a communicator, right? You've heard wrong. The gospel is so much more beautiful than that. Exhausted from calling out to a false god, from dancing around a counterfeit altar, from slashing yourself, from feeling broken and bleeding, exhausted because of all of that's going on. This is what Christianity is about. Come here to me. That's what it's about. And I just want to say to every person in this room, hear me. If anyone in this room, it doesn't matter what you've done, it doesn't matter where you've been, it doesn't matter how colossally you may have failed in the past, if anyone in this room this morning would hear the call of the Lord saying, come here to me, if anyone would choose to draw near to the Lord God, let me tell you something. He will draw near to you. And he'll take away all of that frantic chaos. He'll take it away, and instead he will give you his peace. It doesn't mean life will be roses and easy all the time. No. But it does mean that we can have confidence in a Savior who loves us. We can have peace in relationship with him. And friends, that's what I need for you guys to hear. That's what I want for you. Any place else you look is just going to lead you to heartache and hurt. But our God will grant you peace if you'll draw near. Elijah took 12 stones, one for each of the tribes descended from Jacob, to whom the word of the Lord had come, saying, your name shall be Israel. With the stones, he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he dug a trench around it. He builds this altar to remind them of what the Lord said about their identity. God gave them their identity. God said, your name will be Israel. God gives you your identity as well. And today, maybe it's time to build an altar to remind you of what the Lord has said of you. You are my son. You are my daughter. That's what the Lord has said about you. Maybe you need to be reminded of that. With the stones, he built an altar. He dug a trench around it large enough to hold 2 seahs of seed. He arranged the wood. He cut the bull into pieces. He laid it on the wood. Then he said to them, fill 4 large jars with water and pour it on the offering and on the wood. Do it again, he said. They did it again. Do it a third time, he ordered. They did it a third time. The water ran down the altar. It filled the trench. At the time of the sacrifice, the normal time for the evening sacrifice, right? The prophet Elijah stepped forward and he prayed, Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known today that you are God in Israel, and that I am your servant and have done all these things at your command. Answer me, Lord. Answer me so these people will know that you, Lord, are God, and that you are turning their hearts back again. Then fire of the Lord fell and burned up the sacrifice, the wood, the stones, the soil. It also licked up the water in the trench. Guys, there's so much good stuff that we could talk about here, but what I want to say to you is this. You need to hear, it's all fuel. Look, rocks are not supposed to burn, okay? Rocks don't burn. Rocks are fireproof. I mean, wood, we can understand. That burns, right? The bull, the sacrifice, that would burn. Rocks don't burn. But not only that, there's water that's been poured all over this sacrifice. It's drenched with water. That's not supposed to burn. That's supposed to be safe from whatever fire. It would be really hard to start a fire that would have burned up all of that. And yet that's exactly what the fire of God does. And I just want to say, there are things in your life, I know, there are things in your life that you feel like, man, God can't use this, right? I have failed so miserably. I've done some things. This will keep God from ever being able to use me. He can't use me because of all these failures that I have in my past. He can't use me because I'm not talented enough or gifted enough. There are so many rocks. There's so much water that you have poured on the sacrifice of your life to the Lord God. And you feel like this morning, it can't burn. Wrong. Wrong. Nothing could be more wrong. God will take every part of your life, every failure, every heartache, every mistake. He will take all of it and he will light it all on fire for the purposes of his glory. And you need to hear that this morning. God's going to use even your most profound failure, even your brokenness, even your weakness to declare his mercy, his glory, his rescue in the world. He's going to use all of it. And I need you to hear that if you come to him, he will use it all. If we come to Jesus this morning, listen, if we come to Jesus, our lives will be a flaming testimony to the glory of God. That's his promise to you this morning. And my friends who are entering this new phase of your life, I need you to hear that. Whatever's happened in your past, it's over. It's done. God will use it for his glory if you bring it to him. And today's the day you get to decide, is that what I want to be? Is that what I want to be? Do I want to be a flaming testimony to the glory of God? If it is, friends, if that is what you want, if you do surrender to that today, let me tell you something. This world can't stop you. God will unleash an unstoppable force in your heart and in your life. You'll walk out of this place in victory because the Lord God Almighty is going to light you up. Church, isn't it time to stop wavering between two opinions? Isn't it time to say to the Lord God, no, look, God, I know I've got failures. I know I have brokenness in my past. I know that I've messed up, but I know that you are still on your throne and you are still capable of using me. I'm giving it all to you. What if we said that this morning to the Lord God? What if we allowed the fire of God's Spirit to burn brightly in us? Well, that's where we are today. Verse 39, when all the people saw this, I can imagine what that was like, fire coming down from heaven. When they saw this, they fell prostrate before the Lord. And they cried, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. Listen, what anyone here this morning, is anyone here this morning ready to admit that you need God? That you've been dancing around the wrong altars and it's only left you broken and exhausted and empty? Anybody ready to admit, God, I need you today? Anybody willing to admit and acknowledge that your own efforts have just led you toward death and destruction? The more you've tried to seek out those answers, the less you've been able to find them, and the more it's led to your own harm, your own destruction. Anybody here this morning that's ready to ask God to rescue you? Anybody here this morning that would say, I will surrender my life to the Lord God today? Anybody willing to cry out from the depths of your soul, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. And that's what this is all about. So I'm going to invite our worship team to come up here this morning. And what I'm just going to say to you, as simply as I know how, This moment right now, hear me. This is decision time. It's time for some of us to surrender our lives to God for the first time. Really surrender for the first time. It's time for us to stop wavering between two opinions. It's time for us to declare that we belong to the Lord of hosts. We have a prayer team here with us this morning. Our prayer team is going to be right here at this door. And if there's something going on in your life, if there's some kind of hurt, heartache, you need someone to pray for you, they're going to be right there at that door. It says, how can I pray for you at that door? As soon as we start singing, you head to that door. Maybe you just need to do it old school Baptist style and just walk down this aisle and fall, as Israel did, fall prostrate before the Lord of hosts and declare once and for all in front of everyone here gathered that the Lord is God in your life. Maybe somebody just needs to publicly declare that this morning. If you want to know what it means to be a Christian, if you want to know what it means to surrender your heart and your life to God, you want somebody to talk about that with you, pray about that with you, I'm going to be standing right down here at the front. I would love that. But hear me, do not leave this place. Do not leave this place without examining your heart, without determining where you are in your relationship with God, without allowing the Lord to speak to you. Whatever you do, don't do that. Don't leave without that. Let's pray together. Father, we come before you this morning and we just want to admit, Lord, that we have faltered. Lord, we have chased after the wrong things. We are dancing around all kinds of idols today, Lord. We've been doing that. And God, we're spent, Lord. We're broken. We're worn out. God, we need your strength this morning. We need your peace. We need your forgiveness. Lord, we need your restoration. Would you speak to us? Would you move in us? I pray every person in this room we'll come face to face with the decision that we all have to make. What is my life going to be about? What will I worship today? And help us, God, to turn our hearts to you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand up? We're going to sing.